This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Kevin Spacey's got a memorable entrance in the new series, House of Cards. He looks into the camera and talks to the audience while he strangles an injured dog.
There are two kinds of pain. Sort of pain that makes you strong, or useless pain. Sort of pain that's only suffering. I have no patience for useless things.
House of Cards is Netflix's first original series. It stars Kevin Spacey as Francis Underwood, the House Majority Whip, as he plots and schemes his way through official Washington, D.C., and shares thoughts he cannot reveal to others with us, the audience.
Money is the McMansion in Sarasota that starts falling apart after 10 years. Power is the old stone building that stands for centuries. I cannot respect someone who doesn't see the difference.
Robin Wright plays the equally calculating Mrs. Underwood. Corey Stoll is a drunken, philandering congressman. How do they come up with these plots? The series is written by Bo Willimon, who was nominated for an Academy Award for his screenplay, Ides of March, and Eric Roth. It's based on the BBC series of the same name and a couple of novels. Kevin Spacey, the Academy Award-winning actor and director of London's Old Vic Theatre, and Bo Willimon join us from New York. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Indeed.
Let me ask the first question to both of you. As a group, the U.S. Congress is less popular than used car salesmen. So what made you decide to set a 13-part series in Congress with any hope that people would watch it?
Regardless of the current status of the public's admiration or disgust with Congress or politics, you go back to movie history and you can go to the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and right up to the current quite beautifully done Lincoln and see that politics has always been fertile ground for filmmakers.
If people's frustration with Washington right now is political gridlock, is ideological polarization, and we see a Congress that has proven itself inept at making large leaps forward in the name of progress, what we offer is a politician who, despite being ruthless and deliciously self-interested, actually gets things done. So I think there'll be something satisfying for audiences in seeing a Congress where things start to work because of this devious Machiavellian who works in the name of forward momentum.
Kevin, you've played so many Shakespearean schemers on stage. Does this experience transfer?
Well, I actually am kind of enormously grateful that a year ago I had the chance to do Richard III, which this character was largely based on from Michael Dobbs' original novel, and hence why the direct address is employed. That was not Michael Dobbs' idea or Beau's idea. That happened to be William Shakespeare's idea. And so I had the experience of playing a character who does break the fourth wall. I don't think Richard has as much finesse as we're trying to give to Francis. He's just sort of slashing and burning, and the bodies are mounting up in the course of that play. And while that experience was much more theatrical and the requirements of doing the series are much subtler, I think it translated incredibly well, and I think it does have kind of those sort of epic Shakespearean storylines and archetypes and relationships between characters that are very complicated and difficult. But for me, it's been a little bit like this first season. We've shot 13. It's been a little bit like playing 13 hours of a championship chess match.
I've seen two episodes, and Francis Underwood, whatever else might be said about him, seems to genuinely love and rely on his wife, played by Robin Wright, and vice versa. Is that true, or should I just stay tuned?
As much as we all love the BBC original, they had a lot less time to deal with, and so they spent their focus on particular characters and less so on others. And the wife in the BBC version is really a tertiary character. She's there as a support mechanism and pops in and out here and there. We really wanted to put Francis's wife front and center in our series, and particularly when you have such an extraordinary actress like Robin Wright. And we were really interested in the idea of not just Francis's ascendancy, but this team, this marriage on the ascendancy together.
What does she want?
Access. Seat at the table.
Sounds like she's getting the better side of the bargain.
She can be controlled.
Are you sure?
She can, I promise you.
Okay. You say so.
The moment you want me to
I know, Francis.
It's an unorthodox marriage. They play by different rules than most marriages do. Their rules might destroy a lot of other marriages. But it's not just a political pact. It's a deep mutual respect.
Kevin Spacey, have you had the sensation yet of running into a member of Congress who has seen this or part of it and registered their reaction with you?
No, I haven't. We did the premiere down in D.C. the other night, and Congress was, funnily enough, not in session. So none of the congressmen we had invited were able to come. I did have the opportunity, as I was preparing for the show, to spend some time with the current majority whip, Kevin McCarthy, on the Republican side, and the Democratic minority whip, Steny Hoyer. And they were both incredibly helpful, answered a lot of my questions about the practical understanding that I was seeking about what it would be like to try to corral 218 congressmen to vote the way you wanted them to vote. And obviously, as we've seen in this past year, that's not as easy to do as you'd think. But I will be curious to see how some of our current politicians respond to the show. I suspect they're going to go, yeah.
We spent the whole weekend in that room poring over this bill line by line, and nowhere did it say anything about collective bargaining.
Let's calm down and sit down, and we will discuss this. I will explain everything that's going on, and we will talk it out no matter how long it takes.
No more. This is going to be a very short meeting, because only one of two things are going to happen. Either you assure me right now that that amendment is out, or I am walking out that door, and I'm going to start launching missiles.
The amendment was never intended to stay in the bill. It's just there for leverage, that's all.
Kevin Spacey, do you have to like a character like Francis Underwood to play him?
No. I've played many characters that I didn't necessarily care for, but I'm also quite careful about judging the characters that I play. I think that's a huge mistake, because I think if you end up judging a character you're playing, I get asked this question all the time, and it's sort of, at a certain point, people who like to only color with black and white, it gets really boring after a while, because it's not, life is not like that. Life is complex, and the gray areas are far more interesting than the black and white areas. So I never think of characters as villains, which I'm always asked, oh, do you love playing villains? Well, villainy is not something you can play. It's not an active acting thing that you can do. It is a judgment about a character. And I can't judge the characters I play. I can only play them and let the chips fall where they may.
I think Richard III is a great example. If you look at all the things that Richard III does in black and white, is anyone really capable of liking him? But you find yourself glued to him. You find elements in him that you like because it allows you to access parts of yourself that you don't exhibit in your everyday behavior. There's a part of all of us that wishes we could at times be Richard III or at times be Francis Underwood. And I think audiences have grown accustomed to that in a very sophisticated way with characters like Tony Soprano or Walter White.
Dexter.
Exactly. Yeah. Why do we keep going back to these characters? Because they give us access to something, and it's that attraction which is far more powerful than the black and white of likability, as it were.
Bo Willimon, one of the screenwriters, and Kevin Spacey, who plays the scheming Francis Underwood in The New House of Cards, available now on Netflix. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.